Welcome to Lesson 4 of Chronological Bible Storying for Muslims. This is actually just the material that is written up as handouts to be given to your Muslim friend as you begin your study with them. And what I'm going to do here is a little bit repetitious from the previous lesson, but I want you to have a quick look at the actual handouts and the material that's there, and kind of get familiar with how you're going to approach giving this to your Muslim friend, and then reading through the Bible together. Now, you don't have to use this handout. You could just as easily give them a Bible and just be reading straight from the Bible, as long as you have in your own mind the kinds of questions that you want to ask of the text. And you'll recall that this is the very first of the lessons that we do with Muslims in chronological Bible storying, where we go through Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And you remember, of course, what the primary question is. What does it mean that humankind is made in the image of God? And again, the point that we're trying to make there is that we are made in the image of God for the purpose of intimate, eternal relationship with God. Now, you recall we began by reading just Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, talking about how God had created the heavens and the earth, and you recall that we had some discussion about that, and particularly we talked about God's relation to the creation and the reality that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God is immanent in His creation. He is not just wholly other. He is not just transcendence, but He's also immanence. And we also pointed out that as God was in the process of creation, He saw that what He was making was good. And in this sense, there's a great deal of similarity to what Muslims believe. That is, that this creation is a good creation. God is pleased with what He has made. And then, if you notice, we have a couple of those initial questions listed here. What is the relationship of God to the creation? Again, we're pointing out here that there is an element of God's immanence in His creation. And that will be something that is somewhat different from Islam, because Muslims do not believe that God is immanent in His creation. He is totally transcendent, wholly other. We talked a little bit about the commonality in our appraisal of creation. And then, of course, we asked the question, how do you look at this world? Is it something positive? Is it something negative? Explain how you look at the created world and our relationship to it. Then we move on to the second passage that we'll study, which is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And this is really the key passage, because it talks about the fact that God makes humankind in His own image. And we really want to focus on that. What does it mean that we're made in the image of God? And we pointed out this is something that Muslims generally will have a problem with. Because image, particularly with relationship to God, is always seen as something approaching idolatry. And idolatry, or shirk in Islam, is the worst possible sin. To associate God with any aspect of His creation is the ultimate sin in Islam, and the thing about which Muslims are the most sensitive. And yet, at the same time, this idea of being made in God's image is so essential to understanding who we are, and also our purpose on being here on earth, why God has created man. So God created man in His own image, and that image was both, as we see here, male and female. Man and woman are both created fully in the image of God, and it's only the two of them together that fully represents that image of God. And of course, as we said before, we come to our next question. What does it mean that humankind is made in the image of God? And it would be very interesting to get your Muslim friends' answers to this. And there are many different answers you may hear. Some will say, we are just creatures. We're just mud that's been given life through the breath of God. Others would say, we're meant to be vice regents. We're meant to rule on the earth. Others might say, we're here to be tested. But very often Muslims do not have a clear idea of what it means to be made in the image of God, because this part of the creation story is never told in the Quran. Now, our final passage, Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, you'll recall that we said that these passages, or this passage, really is meant to indicate or to explain what chapter 1 means when it says that we are created in the image of God. And so, God brings creatures to man, and man calls those creatures whatever name he chooses for them. Now, this is an example of humankind's vice regency with God, but even more importantly, it shows the nature of the relationship. Humankind walking in the garden with God, in intimate relationship with God. And, of course, then God also desires to fulfill humankind. He recognizes that man is not a full image by himself, that he is alone, he needs more than that, and so God creates woman, taken out of man, as it were. And in the process of doing this, God is really indicating that there are two levels of relationship in human existence. The vertical relationship to God, which is meant to be intimate and personal, and the horizontal relationship of man to woman, which is also meant to be intimate and personal. So, you can ask the question, how does this story explain Genesis chapter 1? And it simply explains it as showing what relationship means. And we can ask the question, how does this story help us to understand the image of God? Well, clearly, it's helping us to see that image really is reference to relationship and the fact that God is complex. Remember, I talked about that in the previous lecture. God is complex. He is not simplistic. We are complex creatures because we're made in His image, and that complexity is why we can have relationship with God. In fact, we're really aiming at Trinity here, because in the Trinity you have relationship in the very nature of God Himself. God is in relationship with Himself, and therefore He can relate to us. And then you remember our final question. How many laws did God give to Adam and Eve? Usually Muslims will know the answer to this one, only one. And often Muslims think that, well, we're here for testing, we're here to keep the law. But that isn't really the purpose of the law, because obviously Adam and Eve only had one law. We'll look later at the life of Abraham. Abraham, when God first called him, had no law at all. Law is not the nature of the relationship. Law is merely a guidepost of the health of the relationship. You don't get to a relationship with God by means of keeping the law, but by being reconciled to Him. Adam and Eve had only one law. Could they keep it? No, they couldn't. And when they broke it, were they able to escape from the consequences of that one sin? No, they couldn't. So the law cannot save us. The law can only indicate how healthy our relationship to God is. But the relationship to God is the primary thing, more important than the law in and of itself. Well, I think that pretty much covers this section, so I'm going to stop at this point and look forward. If you have any questions about this, remember, you have my email and my phone number, and I'd love to talk to you about this. So we're going to stop at this point.